This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Melbourne Queer Film Festival, for all film lovers. This MQFF podcast is proudly supported by Joy 94.9.
I'm sitting here talking to Logan Muker, who is the director of the short film Into the Streets, which is screening as part of the upcoming Melbourne Queer Film Festival in the Australian Shorts package, which is up for a $3,000 cash prize. Hi, Logan. How are you going?
Good, thank yourself, Lisa.
I'm good. Now, this is not a first-time film for you. You've got a bit of a filmmaking background. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your recent past?
Yeah, I've actually had a couple of films in the Melbourne Queer Film Festival before. My first one was a short film I actually made in my first year of TAFE years ago, which I think played as part of the celluloid casserole quite a few years ago. And then a couple of years ago, I had a feature documentary called East Bloc Love about gay rights in Eastern Europe that was part of the festival, which is great. So it's my third film for the festival.
And those three films are quite different. Do you seek out different projects all the time, or, you know, how do they come to you?
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm kind of changing. Pardon me. I think I'm kind of changing what I'm doing as I go along. Like when I first started studying film, I think I wanted to be a fiction filmmaker, and then I got interested in documentary, which is when I kind of did East Bloc Love, which is a role around Eastern Europe. And then I'm kind of interested now in looking at kind of that blurred line between documentary and fiction at the moment. So I think I'm kind of drawing from. I suppose it's kind of the light that I'm into the streets. It's like a mix of those previous two films. Drawing from both fiction and kind of documentary influences. So yeah, I'm kind of looking at real stories and just kind of how you can tell them in a more interesting and creative way.
Yeah, actually, when I was watching it, I thought to myself, this is kind of, if you want to put it in a genre box or something, it is like a docudrama. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd say so, because, yeah, it's pretty much what it is, because it's like based on an interview. The interview in it is actually a real interview, which is cut down from about 3 hours. A very long interview we did one day, and then we kind of cut it down to its bare roots of the story. And then we pretty much made a script based on that interview, and then we reenacted that the stories of the Mardi Gras with actors.
Right. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the story of the film before I ask you any more questions?
Yeah.
Just to fill it in.
So what we did, I wanted to make a film about the first Mardi Gras, and this is when I was studying back at AFTERS, the Australian Film School in Sydney. And so we kind of talked to a few of the 78ers, and we actually came across this one guy, Craig, who had an interesting story because he was just a teenager at the time when it happened. And his story is kind of interesting because unlike, you know, everybody else who was there kind of deliberately protesting, he kind of really didn't realise what was happening and just kind of got swept up with what was going on. And so we found him, he was a very, very charismatic person. He's a bit of he was a trained actor as well, so it made it very easy to get him to do a very nice interview. And so we just kind of built on his story and his experiences. So his experiences of the first Mardi Gras were kind of these shocking stories of being a teenager, not knowing what was going on, and then to kind of be in this ecstatic mood of celebration of all these people he didn't know who were all accepting and welcoming. And then, you know, all of a sudden it kind of went to chaos when these police turned up, which I don't think many people were expecting.
I mean, it's quite an incredible story for anyone who knows about the 78ers. How did you go about funding the film?
So this was actually just through my film school AFTERS. So our budget was quite meek. It was only about $2,000 or $3,000, I believe. Most of it was kind of like students at the school kind of crewing, and all our actors were volunteers, which is very lovely of them. And so most of our funding, I think, pretty much went onto the camera that we hired, so we could do that really beautiful slow motion work. And that's pretty much was our entire budget for the film.
Yeah, it's an incredible looking film. Like, it does have that beautiful sort of fluidity between the interview and the, I guess, what you would... I mean, it's almost like a visual poem in a lot of ways.
Oh, that's nice to hear it like that. Yeah, because what we wanted to do, because it was all about his memories, and his memories, you know, have kind of changed over the years, and he kind of talked a lot in his interview about how fragmented everybody's memories were and how everyone's experience was different. That we almost wanted to kind of create like a dreamlike state, almost like he was kind of going through back through his memories. We didn't want to present it as something that was happening now, and I think that would have kind of done disservice to the original Mardi Gras and what happened. So we want to kind of try and create a really unique perspective and a new kind of visual approach to his memory. So that's how, kind of how we kind of trialed and played around in the slow motion, and I think it kind of worked to great effect.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, congratulations. It's a beautiful-looking film. Can you tell us how it's been going so far? And, you know, have you been screening in festivals and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so we kind of premiered last year at the Sydney Mardi Gras Film Festival, just because we kind of literally just finished it just in time, and we kind of thought it was important being a film about the Mardi Gras, that we kind of wanted to have it first up at the Sydney Mardi Gras Film Festival. It just kind of made sense. And then since then, so I think it's just in Brisbane Queer Film Festival. I think maybe this weekend or next weekend. I think it's off to, it's in Byron Bay Film Festival. It's about a week or so. And then Melbourne Queer Film Festival, and we're kind of on hold for a few others. So it's starting its rounds at the moment.
Great. And are you planning on entering it into international film festivals as well?
Yeah, so we've entered it into Frameline. So fingers crossed that will kind of be our launch for our international platform. Start from there. So Frameline's an important festival for me because that's where my other documentaries, Block Love, had its international premiere.
Yeah.
And I think for a queer film festival, it's kind of one of the biggest in the world and most important. So we're hoping, fingers crossed, that it will be our international premiere there.
Yeah, we sort of refer to us in the biz, refer to Frameline as the Cannes of queer cinema. So I hope you get in because I'll be going there and hopefully you get to go there too.
I'd be wonderful. I'd love to go. I went to San Francisco for the first time last year, my way back from New York, and it was amazing. So I'd love any excuse to go back there for a holiday.
Yeah, it's the sort of festival where it's very industry-based and there's lots and lots of people from, you know, there's lots of filmmakers, there's lots of film festival people, there's lots of curators, and, you know, it's sort of the best place to actually start networking and doing that sort of stuff.
Amazing.
I find a lot of filmmakers brilliant at making films, but fall a bit short sometimes on the marketing side of things. What are your sort of plans on getting the word out about Into the Streets?
Oh, marketing, that's a tough one, especially when you don't have any budget and not much time. When you work with me and my producer Taylor, who's up in Sydney actually, both of us kind of work full-time jobs in different kind of aspects of the film industry. So marketing is something we kind of do when we get home from night, all bleary-eyed and on weekends. And most nights, so with things like this, we'll kind of be putting a Facebook post up. Obviously, you know, that's a bit civil, but I don't think we have to do too much of this shorts festival to kind of advertise it because it looks like it's selling out.
It'll sell out for sure.
Yeah, so that looks kind of looks quite simple, but we're kind of, you know, launching groups for the different festivals like Brisbane and Byron Bay.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of things like this. It's just word for shorts, especially. I think you kind of have to kind of market them differently to feature films, because whereas shorts, you're kind of trying to get people to come to a package of things, so it's a lot more collaborative and a lot more filmmakers can get involved in trying to advertise something like that, whereas features, you know, have to stand on their own legs by themselves. So it's a totally different approach, I think, for marketing a feature than to a short. But mostly social media is the way to go, I think, especially for queer films. You know, there's a big community online, on Twitter and Facebook, and through, you know, magazines and blogs and things like that. The queer community is especially very supportive of marketing queer films. And so there's a lot of people we kind of usually go to help spread the word.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we sort of get questions sometimes about, you know, why do we still need a queer film festival? And I do get questions occasionally from filmmakers who are queer but have made us what I would call a straight narrative. And, you know, they wonder why they can't get into the queer film festival, even though they're, you know, the subject matter of their film is a straight story. And what I try to explain to them is there's so many straight film festivals.
Yeah,
and there's so few queer film festivals, particularly in Australia. There's only, you know, what, four or something. And the opportunity to screen a film like yours is much smaller. I mean, you know, you're sort of, obviously you'd be entering it into straight film festivals as well, but it is, to get yourself just into a niche film festival is pretty tough, and it's hard to explain to an audience why there's suddenly a straight film in the middle of a queer shorts package.
It's kind of a two-pronged thing having like queer film festivals. Like, it's great, you know, like In the Streets is now playing at Byron Film Festival, you know, which is just not a queer film festival. And I think that, you know, queer films should be able to hold their own merit in a regular film festival.
Absolutely.
If they're good enough. But at the same time, I think regardless, you know, obviously we need queer film festivals because obviously we're not having that queer content that's accessible as much as you'd like in kind of mainstream film festivals. But I still think regardless of how integrated, you know, off some kind of dream utopia in the future where, you know, queer characters are kind of perfectly integrated into most films, I still think it would be important to have queer film festivals because it's a place, you know, for community, for gathering, you know, for people to be able to come see their own stories up on screen without having to kind of dig around and find them. So I think it's very important that we have a film festival that's supportive of queer films and also queer filmmakers as well, because I suppose there's a lot of queer filmmakers in Australia who are very talented who go off to go make straight films and queer films. And I think, you know, having queer film festivals to support queer filmmakers at the start of their careers and, you know, merging the careers and even later on is very important in kind of establishing the talent in this country, which I think a lot of mainstream film festivals might kind of overlook us a bit at the start of our careers, which is a bit upsetting.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, funding is so difficult and, you know, there's such an incredible amount of talented people out there with, you know, limited access to, say, writing mentors and, you know, editing facilities and, you know, funding of any sort. So
Yeah, I know. And Screen Australia funding is like kind of hard to approach at this kind of stage in your career. So it's important that, you know, there is kind of funding opportunities. And, you know, even if having the prizes, like at the Short Film Festival, even, you know, whoever wins the $3,000, I'm sure that will get them going and writing their next script for the next film.
Yeah, absolutely.
So these kind of things are important. Whereas, kind of Screen Australia and, you know, the state film bodies are kind of a bit harder to crack.
Yeah, often it's easier if you're already established, which kind of defeats the purpose, really. I mean, it's a little bit like...
It kind of defeats the purpose. I know. I shouldn't. I won't say too much about it. But
it's easier for me to say.
Blacklist me. No. They do run some great programs for emerging filmmakers, but a lot of it is kind of, pre-designed for people who are already established who might not need the money so much. But yeah. I won't say any more because they might be listening in.
Yeah, I mean, they have interesting structures in other countries. Like the UK has a lottery fund where, part of their British lottery takings get sort of funded into the arch, which I think is a fantastic idea, but we just don't do anything like that here.
And even in America, I know they don't have much in the way of public funding, but they do have a lot more just because of the size of something like a niche audience, like the queer film market. Suddenly there's 100 times fold and there's so many philanthropists and so many organisations you can seek funding from. So whereas in Australia, we're kind of a bit limited on our film resources, which is a bit upsetting, which is why I think you might see a lot of filmmakers, once they kind of make a little bit of a success in Australia, sadly leave overseas.
I've actually just been talking this morning to Laura Scrivano, who's the director of The Language of Love, which is in the same package
as
you.
I love Laura.
Yeah, and she's now living in LA and trying to get some, working and doing pretty well over there. So
I know,
we do tend to lose them.
I think we kind of lost somebody at the start of their career, which is a bit sad,
Yeah.
So hopefully she comes back. Hi, Laura, if you're listening. Come back.
Well, don't you move.
Oh, that's sad. She won't be at the festival then, will she?
No, I don't think she will, but, kicking goals over there is good. Now, one last question before I let you go. What are your future plans?
So at the moment, I've kind of, me and my producer, Taylor, we've got a few more documentaries in works, a queer film and a few kind of non-queer films, but... we're kind of looking at doing documentaries, fiction films. We've been applying for funding. We'll see how that goes. And I'm also just kind of starting my career as my job at the moment in advertising. Mm-hmm. As you'll probably see, a lot of filmmakers have to kind of turn to other skills and trades to kind of make enough money to get by. So I'm kind of learning all the ropes and all the magical world of commercial advertising at the moment. So that's kind of keeping me going along. But I haven't lost focus of what I want to do with documentaries and films. So there's lots of projects in the work at the moment, which is really exciting. But I won't say too much at the moment.
Secret Logan business.
Logan business, exactly.
Well, congratulations, Logan. I've been chatting to Logan Mucha from the film Into the Street, which is a screening as part of the upcoming Melbourne Queer Film Festival between March 13 and March 24. Good luck for the Australian Shorts Prize. There's a $3,000 cash prize on offer, so good luck for that.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Thanks for chatting to us.
Melbourne Queer Film Festival, 13th to the 24th of March 2014. Visit mqff.com.au for more information. This MQFF podcast is proudly supported by Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.